Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts Film Room, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. As always, thank you guys for getting to Stampede Blue and checking out everything that we've got on the site for you guys. As you know, we've got some great writers, a whole lot to offer you guys, and it's just continuing great news and analysis from the team. So make sure you guys are staying put there and taking in all that we offer there. So today on the film room, I was going to give you guys kind of a backtrack of the Texans' last game, but I thought better against it. You know, we know what to expect from the Houston Texans this week. We know they're on a roll with 9 wins in a row. We know about J.J. Watt. We know about Deshaun Watson. We know about Lamar Miller. We know about all that stuff. I don't need to tell you guys about it. So for today's film room, I decided to bring in Stampede Blues' Zach Hicks, who has done a ton of film room work on the Colts in general, and I wanted to get his opinions and views on what he's seen from some of these guys. You're not getting the Andrew Luck film room. You're not getting, you know, a lot of the guys that you might expect. You're getting a lot of other guys that a lot of people aren't doing. So, Zach, thank you for jumping on the show tonight, my man.
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for having me on. I love talking about these film rooms, and I love doing them every week. So, pleasure to be on, man.
Good. Glad you're here. We've got a little list here, and I want to talk to you about these guys. Like I said, these aren't, you know, it's not the Darius Leonard, although I think we would really enjoy a little bit of that, too. But, I mean, just in general, you've got a lot of good names. You're not discriminating on these film rooms, and I want to get your opinions on some of these guys. Now, you did Matthew Adams recently. He's been a guy that I was kind of – really excited about when he came in, just because of his physical tools, the way that he ends up playing the game. You know, he seems like he is kind of the ideal future at the Sam position, and he's also done a little bit of maneuvering throughout the linebacking core this year as well. What did you see from him that kind of stuck out on tape?
So the first thing that I looked at was his special team play, especially like early in the year, because through the first 5 games of the year, when I looked at his snap counts, he actually didn't log one defensive snap in the first 5 games, which actually shocked me. I thought that he was rotating in there more, but I think it was more of Najee Good in there. Mm-hmm. But when I look back at some of his special teams play, like immediately he's just a tone setter there. And I think that he'll always kind of have a role in the NFL because of that special teams play. So that's a good base to have, especially for a young player. But these last couple weeks, you've kind of seen him work more into the lineup. He's been subbing a little bit with Zaire Franklin. And then these last couple weeks, he's actually been taking over like a majority of the snaps. I think he had 41% of the snaps on defense last week, and that's a lot for a Sam backer in
that's
this
a
defense.
Ton.
Yeah, that's a ton for a Sam linebacker in this defense. So he had 41% of the snaps, and we saw it on the field. I mean, he killed Cody Kessler on that one play, which I mentioned in my article 5 years ago. We're talking about his first career sack. We're not talking about a penalty. So right. It was a great play. Obviously, he lowered his head a little bit. So in today's NFL, it's not a sack. He had a great open field tackle on TJ Yeldon out of the backfield. And just overall, I've seen his play kind of improve each week. He's kind of understanding more the position. He's doing the dirty work. He's doing a lot of the little things to help in run defense. And that's what you got to ask out of a Sam backer in a 4-3. So he's getting really good at all the little things there. I just want him to keep improving. My biggest kind of drawbacks that I saw with him is just like his instincts aren't 100% there yet. Mm-hmm. His block shedding's not really there yet, but that's just because I don't think he's played much. But he's impressed me a lot more than what I thought he would. I mean, NFL.com, I think, didn't even have a like scouting report on him coming out of college. Like,
right.
I couldn't find scouting reports on him anywhere. So I was trying to use that as like a background thing, but I couldn't find anything. But, you know, a guy who really flew under the radar, Chris Ballard really found a good player here in Matthew Adams, and I think he's just going to keep getting better. And I'm really liking him at that Sam backer role. So I think it was you before the season you were hyping him up, saying he could be a dark horse on this team. So I got to give you credit there. He's played pretty well these last couple weeks.
He's been impressive. I've really liked watching him play. Now, there was something, and I can't say that I know this or that I've really paid much attention to it, but everybody knows what Matthew Adams like is known for once you see him hit somebody. He
yep.
is there to blow people up. But do you see him kind of breaking down? I mean, do you see him controlled as he's coming in for those big hits? Or because I don't see him flying around through the air just like a hapless arrow. You know what I mean? You see him you know, kind of in the mix. It seems like he's got pretty good form tackles. He just seems to pack a lot of power.
Yeah, he targets really well, and he actually drives through ball carriers, which is actually a really good like aspect that you don't really see on many players, even on this Colts team. Like Darius Leonard, don't get me wrong, he's a great tackler, but not every time is he going to aim perfectly. He's going to hit right in the hips, and he's going to drive through ball carriers. Mm-hmm. Matthew Adams' big hits aren't him just kind of diving in there with the shoulder first, not like, you know, the old Laron Landry type, you know, right. Bernard Pollard, like those type of safeties where they just dive head first, throwing their shoulder at a guy. Matthew Adams is a big physical guy. And, you know, he came in as one of those smaller linebackers, like those 230-pound guys. And he does not look any bit of a 230-pound linebacker. He looks like he's 250, 260. And when he hits guys, he drives through them and carries them and drives them backwards. So I think that's where you see a lot of his big hits, is that he's just a really strong, broad-shouldered guy. And he just drives his legs through contact. So, yeah, he's a really short tackler and open field, athletic guy too. So I think that's where you see a lot of the big hits there, is because he just drives through guys.
And he's kind of the prototypical Sam in terms of how he plays the game, his physicality. But I always feel like he has the speed of a quality Will as well.
Yeah, no, he definitely has the speed. I think he ran a 4.6 at his pro day, which, you know, it's not blazing speed for a linebacker, because we saw guys like Leighton Vander Esch run like 4.5s and other guys run like 4.4s even at linebacker. I think Tremaine Edmonds ran a 4.4 at the combine. But, you know, that's pretty good speed for a linebacker. If you're running 4.6, you're in the upper percentile there. So he has some good speed there for the linebacker. And if you throw in how physical he plays and how strong of a player he is, I mean, you have pretty much the full package there at Sam. So I think, yeah, again, once he gets a little more developed there and he kind of, you know, his instincts are kind of on par with guys like Leonard and Anthony Walker, you might have a really good, you know, linebacker core, three guys who are really young too. So he's got to keep improving every day. But yeah, man, he's got the speed, the strength, everything right there that you would like.
Yeah, and you hit it too. I was going to say, those instincts, when those start to pick up and those start to kind of smooth out, that'll make him even, I mean, naturally faster. Your reaction time plus your speed, you know, kind of negates a little bit of that, any lack of speed that you might have. But let's talk about Anthony Walker a little bit, since you mentioned him here. I've noticed Darius Leonard is getting a ton of credit this year, and rightly so. But Anthony Walker has had a really good season, and not to mention the chemistry between he and Leonard really seems to be impressive. What did you see from his tape?
He is one of the better run-stuffing linebackers that I've seen across the league, like looking at other teams too, because I look a little bit of film on other teams too. He's a really good run-stuffer, and it's not that he's overly physical with linemen, that he sheds blocks perfectly. He's really good at shifting through traffic up front when the linemen are blocking on defensive linemen, other linebackers. He's really good at shifting through traffic. He's got great speed to the sideline, and his instincts are really good there in the run game. So I think he's an excellent run-stuffing middle linebacker, and I think that goes really well with a guy like Darius Leonard. I think my only drawback I had on him was he does kind of overplay the run a little bit, which –
yep.
You can kind of live with at times. I just think other, like, better offenses are going to take advantage of that. I saw a little bit of it in the Patriots game. They took advantage of that a little bit, throwing some slants right behind him in his zone. But, you know, if your biggest flaw in a linebacker all year is that he's a little too aggressive, I can take that, because you can kind of – you can live with a too aggressive guy instead of a too passive guy. So you have a great run-stuffing linebacker with great speed. I think there's a lot of potential there to build upon with Anthony Walker.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've noticed from him this year is he is, you know, and it's great when you've got Darius Leonard there, known as a sure tackler and just a tackling machine, but I've seen a lot of, you know, Anthony Walker does not allow a lot of yak after catches. You know, he does sit back and allow those things to come in front of him a lot, but he just doesn't seem to – I mean, he seems to be getting people to the ground at the catch point, and I think that that's really important, especially for a Mike in this system.
Yeah, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now too, which confidence is a really big thing. And, you know, if we talk about Quincy Wilson here, that's another big thing I'll talk about with him. But confidence is huge for defenders. You know, half the game is confidence for these guys. So knowing that you have a guy like Darius Leonard behind you, or you have, you know, guys like Malik Hooker, who, even though other people are saying he's not – having a great year, you have confidence as a defender. Like, hey, that's a guy who should have been a top 10 pick behind me. He's going to make a tackle if I miss. I'm going to come in and I'm going to, you know, do my best to tackle this guy. And, You know, I think that's just the big thing with him. They're all playing with a lot of confidence right now. They all trust each other, and that's why the defense is kind of taking that big step. So it's easier to make tackles coming forward like that in the zone mm-hmm. when you have the confidence in the rest of your team around you.
Absolutely. We'll get to Wilson here in just a minute, but who was maybe your favorite film study that you've done thus far?
Well, Matthew Adams was fun, but Kenny Moore probably is my favorite. I mean, that was a guy who everybody was calling for his head in the preseason.
Right.
And I was watching this guy, and I was like, this guy is all over the field. I mean, you see him line up in slot. He's on the outside. He's contesting passes against DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green.
Yeah, bigger
guys. He's making tackles in the backfield. He's throwing his head in there on Leonard Fournette. And, like, I mean, this guy literally does it all. And he plays every – like, if you didn't know what college he was from – and you watch this film, you'd say, okay, that guy is from like some FCS school or some Division II school, because there's no way the guy, not to badmouth like big schools, but I mean, he looks like a small school guy because the way he plays every single snap, like it's the last snap he's ever going to play. So, I mean, he was a blast to watch, and I had so much fun watching him, and I still kind of watch him when I'm watching other guys.
I really enjoyed, you know, just the little bit that I've picked up from just kind of paying attention to him throughout games and a little bit of, you know, rewatching some film myself, but I that was kind of the thing. You mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. It's crazy at his size how well he stays sticky to some of those bigger receivers and still challenges them at the catch point. It's just not something you expect to see from a guy of his stature, and he does it really well.
Yeah, he's very savvy and really competitive, and you can kind of see – I know that, you know, we're not supposed to talk about this team on here, but you can see why the Patriots picked him up as an undrafted free agent.
Right.
His draft year. I mean, he kind of embodies like the type of player that the Patriots team looks for. It's that really savvy, competitive guy, not the best athlete in the world, and he's going to get beat on some, you know, he's going to get beat in like press man coverage every now and then because he's just not that kind of athlete and not that kind of size. But, I mean, if you're going to a guy who competes like that at the catch point when he's 5'9", 5'8", whatever size he is, I mean, that is a corner that you can build off right there. That's a leader of your team, no matter if he's your fifth corner or your first corner. I have so much fun watching him. He's involved on almost every play. He's kind of like Darius Leonard, but in the secondary, just all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's a really I feel like it's a good pleasure to watch this guy every single week.
I agree. He's fun. I've enjoyed watching how physical he is when it's another aspect that you don't necessarily expect from him at the line of scrimmage coming up to make some plays. He's made some mistakes, don't get me wrong, but you just don't expect to see a guy, 5'8", 5'9", whatever he is, you know, that comes up and is that physical against just anybody who's in front of him. I mean, he just doesn't discriminate. He does not care who's carrying the ball. He's going to come up and give him a pop. And that's really, not only is it important in this scheme, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. By far and away, the most fun I've had watching a film room, especially when he lit up the Bills tight end. I think it was Kroom coming across the middle late in that Bills game. He like flipped the guy over, and then the very next play he got a pick, and I was like, man, this guy all over the place. I mean, it was so much fun.
And you can see why the coaches love him and we're talking him up. You know, there was a little bit of a whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't say controversy, like a real battle among the corners in the preseason and in training camp and stuff like that. And we'll get to Quincy Wilson here in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break for our ad, and then we'll be right back with more from Zach Hicks. All right, Colts fans, we have a great deal for you. Let me tell you guys about TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do. And if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out on this company because it was so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this offer today, 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees. All right, guys, we're back. Thank you for coming back to the show. Again, Zach, let's talk about Quincy Wilson, one of those guys you mentioned earlier in the show about, you know, his confidence and how important that is. He's gotten a little bit more playing time lately, actually quite a bit more playing time, and you see that they're kind of moving him around as well. Do you see a spot where obviously he's a guy that we know is probably better in man coverage. You know, he's learning these zones. He gave a lot of credit to Mike Mitchell, the new safety that the Colts signed several weeks ago. But what are you seeing? Are you seeing a change in, you know, maybe his approach? Is it footwork? Is it being able to click and close, so to speak? Or what is it from Quincy that you're seeing?
I think my biggest thing, and I actually didn't even put this in my article, my biggest thing with Quincy coming out of Florida is you have this big body corner who's not really that great of an athlete, who only really played man, only really knew man coverage. Mm-hmm. So now he's getting to the NFL, he's kind of being asked to be in a zone scheme. And, you know, I don't know Quincy, so I can't say this about him, but I'm sure that hurt his confidence a bit, going from, you know, being a Florida corner, one of the top guys in the country, basically, Matt Miller's number one corner going into the draft, and just struggling like he did. And I think you could kind of see it on film, especially early in the year against the Bengals, where he had a kind of rough game. He had to cover A.J. Green in man coverage a couple times, which, you know, even the best corners are going to get down on themselves after trying to cover A.J. Green.
Sure.
But you know, later in the year, you can kind of see the confidence switch. I mean, after his injury, everyone was calling for his head, just kind of like Kenny Moore in the preseason. Everyone was calling for his head, saying, okay, it's time to move on from Quincy Wilson. I think I even said in the Slack chat, like, one time a couple weeks ago, it was like, whatever gets Quincy Wilson off the field, I'm happy. But these last couple weeks, I've seen a big improvement in his zone discipline, his zone eyes, where, like, he's getting into his position, he's getting into his zone. But instead of just sitting in that zone and being passive and sitting back, he's reading the quarterback's eyes. He's reading the play in front of him. He's trusting the guys behind him, and he's going out there and making more plays. We saw it with a pick against the Titans, mm-hmm. where he dropped back into a zone that wasn't necessarily his, and he got that interception. And then which game was it? I think it was the Dolphins game where he had that big pass breakup on the goal line. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be in mid-flats around the first down marker, but he kept reading Tannehill's eyes and kept drifting back to the goal line. So you're seeing a little bit more of that confidence with him in zone. I think that's where his style of play has kind of been jumping up. And then the other area where he's really gotten better is he's been a lot more physical, because the coaches have kind of put him on tight ends and more in the slot and more in the box. And I think that's kind of improving his physicality, because you have to be physical in the box. You have to be physical with tight ends. You have to be physical when run plays come to you. So overall, I think the coach has done a good job of getting him right in the right areas, and I think he's just getting more comfortable in zone scheme. So overall, we're seeing more confidence, and we're seeing a better Quincy Wilson.
So we're seeing him improve in those zones. But do you legitimately think that he can be a corner for the Colts here in the long haul for the next 3 and 4 years in this scheme?
I don't know if he'll ever live up to that second round billing, because I just don't, in my opinion, he's a little too limited as an athlete to really be like your number one corner forever and going forward, a guy that you trust, a guy you can pull on an island sometimes. But I think he can be a good role player. I think he's kind of shown that these last couple weeks that he can be a solid contributor on a team like this. You can put him in zone, you can trust him on a side, you can even move him to the box and put him on tight ends, and he can kind of play pretty well there as well. So I think he's going to be a good role player going forward. Hopefully he keeps taking more and more steps going forward. But overall, I mean, you can't really complain with his play the last couple of weeks. It's been pretty solid. I just hope he continues to build on it and keeps building his confidence.
Right, and I think ultimately the idea, at least from Colts fans and myself included here, is that you want to see him kind of live up. Not necessarily, I mean, if you want to, you know, make that the threshold to where he was actually drafted. Ultimately, I think what you just want to see from him is consistency and improvement every single year. And if you do that, you understand his upside and what he can do for you. Because he's a fairly instinctual guy, I think.
Yeah.
He's just not, like you said, and I agree with you, he's just not that elite athlete. And it kind of is probably going to take one of those guys, one of those big-time draft picks for the Colts at cornerback to kind of really improve the base of this defense. So it'll be interesting going forward. I'm a fan of Quincy, and I understand why people get the, you know, why he comes off to them the way he does. But I just root for the guy because he was such a personable guy, and I guess maybe I didn't really expect that from him, you know, talking to him at camp and stuff like that. So I just hope that he's able to get himself, you know, together, and I'm glad that he had a guy like Mitchell to kind of, you know, steer him in the right direction in terms of, you know, what to look for, where to be, you know, and just kind of how to play the game in this scheme. I think that's probably going to make a big deal for him. We got a couple more here on the list real quick of the guys that you looked at. Now, Danico Autry early in the season was almost everywhere. He took, you know, he was injured a little bit. He had a couple games where he was really not up to snuff. What you watched him against the Jags, what did you see?
Yeah. So I saw a player who he kind of looked like his earlier season self. And I know a couple of the games that you're referring to, especially that first Houston game while right. We're on the, you know, the topic of going against Houston here. Mm-hmm. Autry was all over the place in that first Houston game. I think he got a sack or two in that one as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been struggling with injuries. Again, he's not really the best athlete in the world where he's going to be nimble and he's going to fly past guys. But he does have some pass rush finesse to him. Like, he has a nice little swim move. He has nice little rip and pull moves as well. And honestly, I think the game on Sunday was a combination of Autry healthy and finally like getting after it, and also going against backup offensive linemen for the Jaguars, because mm-hmm. AJ Khan, however you say his name, is one of the worst linemen I've seen this year. I mean, he had no business being on the field in that game, but so Autry beat him, I think, for two sacks in the game, along with the two forced fumbles were both against him when he was lined up against Khan. But I mean, they moved Autry around a little bit like they've been doing all year, and he was able to get off some blocks. So overall, again, it was a great game from Autry. I think he did benefit a little bit, though, from Kessler holding the ball a little bit and from poor offensive line play. But, yeah, he's getting after it. And I think he's kind of proving himself to be, you know, this kind of role player, depth defensive lineman, or even a starter, depending on where the Colts go with the draft and free agency, because he has that motor. He has some pass rush skill to him. And he's going to be a key piece going forward, I think, for this team.
I do, too. I hope that he can, you know, have a repeat kind of like you mentioned against the Texans this Sunday, like he did in their first meeting, because he was a wrecking machine in that game. It was just like, man, why can't he do this every week? You know, and you just don't see the consistency from him, but man, you sure do see the peaks. You know, they really stand out when you watch him. Another guy here, Evan Bame, you know, backup center with Ryan Kelly being out. Young guy. I mean, I don't know that I've noticed him getting just blown away a lot, but am I missing something, or has he played pretty well?
Yeah, so I will say I haven't watched his past game, so he could have had the worst game of all time this past game. I don't know. So whatever this analysis off is based off the Dolphins game, right. But he played really well in the Dolphins game, and he's a completely different player from Ryan Kelly, though. Ryan Kelly is an athletic guy, a guy who can get to the second level, a guy who can move linebackers off a spot, a guy who can even get to secondary players on sweep plays and open up big plays. Ryan Kelly's that kind of center, where Evan Bame or Bayheim, I'm not going to try saying his name anymore, but Evan Bame, he's more of a pretty poor athlete. He's kind of a short, stocky built guy, but he's a really competitive, really smart guy. So when he's in pass coverage, he recognizes stunts really well. He's good at directing the line on where to block. He's a very physical guy. I saw him put like four or five guys on their backs against the Dolphins, and I was like, wow. Like, this is going to look great in the film room, because I can just hype up how he's finding work and crushing guys. And I think he's good in more of the phone booth area, where if you ask him to chip a defensive lineman and then get to like a linebacker who's close to the line of scrimmage, he's better that way. Or Kelly will get out in front, he'd be able to flip his hips. Mm-hmm. So, but Bam's a little bit different, but he played really well against the Dolphins. I don't think he even got beat once in that game, and he had some pretty high highs in the run blocking department. So he's a really good fill-in center, and I think he's been a pretty good fill-in for an all-pro type player like Ryan Kelly.
Yeah, when he first got his start, I thought, you know, I think I said on the show, I just said, he doesn't have to be Ryan Kelly. He doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good enough, because he's got some good help on both sides of him. And as long as he can just kind of hold his own and not screw anything up and not snap the ball over Luck's head, it could it'd probably be just fine. You know, I mean, but man, we are sure missing Kelly. That there's no two ways about it. It'd be nice to have him back as soon as he can get back.
Yeah. Kelly and Doyle have been the last
big losses. You know,
yeah, losing those guys, that's probably your two best blockers on the team outside of maybe Quentin Nelson, but those are your two best blockers on the team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, losing them has definitely hurt the team a little bit.
Yeah, and going forward, it's kind of a scary thought a little bit, you know, when you're talking about do the Colts have a possibility of getting into the playoffs and such. I mean, that's just, you know, those are two big losses. Especially Doyle, because he's not coming back. We don't know much about Kelly right now, but, you know, waiting for him, hoping he can come back. It's not going to be this week. They've already listed him as out, so that's not going to happen. So hopefully, at least in the next couple weeks, hopefully the Colts can win without him. But let's talk a little bit about Kamoko Ture. You said that you watched a little bit of on him, and something that I noticed this past week is we're seeing, you know, a little bit more from Tyquan Lewis. They're putting him at the end. And I think most of it's for matchup reasons. And, you know, Stephen Holder even talked about on his latest episode of Horseshoes that, you know, Kamoko Ture is like 235.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big guy. Tyquan Lewis and he are not the same kind of player. They are not, you know, the same defensive end. Kamoko Ture is there purely for burst speed and to get to the quarterback. Tyquan Lewis matches up much better against guys who can be physical, and Tyquan has a, you know, some of those pass rush moves that you really like to see. So what do you see? What did you see rather from Ture? And do you think that he has kind of long-term viability for this scheme?
Yeah. So Ture, when we first drafted him, I was like, I don't see the fit really in a 4-3. Cause again, like you said, he's a 235, 240 guy at best. So at first I was like, okay, this guy's a 3-4 linebacker. I don't really see the fit. But then I saw kind of earlier in the year, because my film room on him, I believe, was only through week 6. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't really been recent weeks, even though I've been keeping an eye on him. But yeah, he's more of a sub rusher. Even when Tyquan Lewis wasn't playing, they had Carroll Phillips as a starter on the end. They had Al-Kaiden Muhammad. Hopefully I said that name right. Yeah. He was a starter on the end as well, because those guys are more of your run stuffer type guys. So they kind of filled in there on the run stuffing downs, and they brought in Ture on the pass rushing downs. And Ture really excels in that role. I mean, I saw him beat Jason Peters like a drum a couple times. In the first Texans game, he was also outstanding in that one, Kamoko Ture, and he actually had a couple really good pressures in that one. Mm-hmm. The Bills game, he was outstanding, even though that wasn't in my film room. Ture was great in that game as well. And I think we're seeing a guy kind of, again, blossom a little bit as the season's going on. He's not... You know, he's never really going to be the stout run stuffer. He'll never really be a starter on the end. But if you can have a really good sub rusher, a guy who can, you know, get you a bunch of pressures a year, be second on your team in pressures as a sub rusher throughout the whole year, which he is this year, I think you're getting really good value out of a guy. So he never really has to be that starter. You got guys like Tyquan Lewis. You got Jabal Sheard. You got whoever they're going to bring in this offseason, because I'm assuming they're going to bring in a couple more guys on the end. Mm-hmm. He never really has to be a starter out there. If he can be a good sub rusher, I'm fine with it. I don't even want him to really add weight, because he might lose some speed on there. So,
right. So
far he's been great. I like how he's progressed. I think he's even gotten a little bit better as a run defender, even though, again, I don't really need him to be a great run defender to be successful in the pros. So I think going forward, I do think the next couple of years he's still be that situational rusher. Maybe he adds weight, maybe he becomes a starter down the line. But overall, I mean, if their main plan is to start him as a, or to have him as a situational rusher behind guys like Tyquan Lewis and Jabal Sheard, I mean, I think he's going to be great in that role. So, I mean, he's had a great rookie season, second among all rookies in pressures this year, only behind Bradley Chubb, who was, you know, a top 5 pick. Mm-hmm. So he's been all over the place this year. So just going forward, hopefully he can stay healthy and he can, you know, keep that quickness up and keep working with guys like Robert Mathis and really hone in on his abilities there.
What do you see from him as far as technique-wise? How much, I mean, has he got a lot of work to do?
Technique-wise, actually, he has a lot of moves in his arsenal right now. He's really quick off the end, and I do really, my favorite thing about him is he's a bendy rusher, and that's the number one thing you look for when you're looking at edge rushers, is how bendy they are. You know, guys like Tyquan Lewis aren't really that bendy, even though he's got a little bit into his game. Mm-hmm. But Ture combines that bend with quick speed off the end, and also he's really good at hooking his arm around the outside of left tackles. And when he does that, he's able to turn the corner a lot quicker. And I think earlier in my film room, it was just if he can learn to, you know, hook that arm and kind of stop on a dime and come back, or if he can, you know, counter off of that hook there, then I think he'd be a lot better as a rusher. And I think he's gotten a little better at that recently too. So obviously it's going to be a little bit of a developmental thing, because again, edge rushers, you know, normally they don't just come in and they're the best in the league. He's going to, you know, it's going to take a little bit for him, but you know, as a sub rusher, it's hard to expect anything more from a second round sub rusher here on this team.
Absolutely. So you've done some other film rooms in here that we didn't get into tonight. Who was one that you studied that you like maybe were most disappointed in?
I wouldn't really say disappointed, because you know, how do I say this? Like, I try to keep it positive. Like I cherry pick guys basically that I know that people are going to like seeing, and I know are going to be more positive type reviews.
Right.
I will say one guy who I haven't done a film room on, but I've been avoiding it like the plague because I know it would be a really negative one and people would hate it, is Clayton Gathers this year. I think he's really taken a step back from where he was.
Interesting.
Earlier in his career, his run angles are really bad. His tackling in open space is really poor as well. Like I think that's the biggest area where I've been really down on Clayton Gathers this year, is his open field tackling is way too poor for his zone scheme. And you see a lot bigger, you know, in a zone scheme, you're trying to limit big plays. There shouldn't be any big plays in a zone defense, but the Colts still give up a lot of big plays. And part of that is because guys like Gathers and Mike Mitchell of late, but mostly Gathers this year, he misses a lot of open tackles in space. So I've really been down on him. And, you know, if he was a great pass defender, like a guy like Malik Hooker, where, you know, Hooker's great at taking away half the field. So if he, you know, messes up sometimes in run defense, or he misses an assignment sometimes, you can live with it because he takes away half the field. Gathers doesn't really do much in the pass game either. So overall, I've been really disappointed in his play this year when I've been looking at film.
Interesting. I'll be looking forward to that one too. Like everybody else right now is probably thinking, man, he played pretty well against the Jaguars, but I agree with you. You see some of those angles and stuff that seems to stick out to me the most.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as his coverage, I guess I can't really say that I've paid that close attention to it, but I did notice and have noticed over the recent weeks, you know, some of his angles to the run, and it seemed, they just seem, you know, very poorly thought out and very poorly, very bad reactions. It just seems like to him, or not great reactions anyways.
Yeah.
Zach, you guys can catch Zach Hicks on Twitter at Zach, Z-A-C-H Hicks 2. Make sure that you guys are following his work on Stampede Blue. Great film work room for you guys to go check out. Zach, thank you for joining me tonight on the show, man.
Yeah, of course, man. Anytime. I mean, I love talking film on here or anything Colts. Been a blast of a season so far, even though it's only 6-6. But, you know, the last couple weeks, 5-1, the last 6 weeks, can't really complain too much about that.
No, not too much. They're in the dead sprint, though, now. They've got to win.
Yeah.
They've got to win out if they really want to be in this playoff hunt for real. So,
yeah, for sure. I will say, though, I've been growing out my beard the last 6 weeks here, and since I started growing out this beard, the Colts are undefeated when they scored more than 0 points. So I think
yes.
So I think it's good luck going forward. So if we see the Colts score a touchdown at all, I mean,
they're going to win.
Say, if they score a touchdown, I mean, we're probably going to win. I mean, we.
That's awesome. When they score more than 0 points, that's great.
Yeah, I love that. More than zero.
I love that for a qualifier. Oh, shoot. All right, guys. Thank you guys all for joining us tonight on the show. We'll have maybe one more show before the game Sunday. Maybe not. But one way or another, as long as the Colts, and, you know, kind of as another qualifier, as long as the Colts don't score zero, we'll have a recap of the Colts Week 14 game against the Texans. It's a big one. It's a must win in many different ways and aspects. It's a must win for confidence. It's a must win for playoff possibilities. So make sure you guys are checking out the show for that. We'll be back for that probably Monday, maybe Sunday night, depends. So make sure you guys are on the on the look for that. But Zach, once again, thank you for joining me tonight on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you guys are getting to the Stampede Blue podcast channel on iTunes, giving us a rating and review. We madly appreciate it. And as always, get to Stampede Blue for all your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. We will talk to you next time. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.